is the JR Sport Brief Show here, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to super producer and host Ryan Hickey holding it down for us on the boards in New York City. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever you're up to, I hope you're safe. I hope you're well. I hope you're doing amazing. Man, we've been hanging out here for an hour. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen on the free Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can lock in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got SiriusXM, it's channel 158. If you got a smart speaker, ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. We're about an hour away from more football. Monday night football, because damn it, we got football every day. If you're not footballed out from the holiday, good, there's more. Denver, Cleveland. Cleveland Browns take their miserable football team to the mountains. Let's see what Jameis Winston can do. How many interceptions is Jameis going to throw? We'll see. How many inspirational speeches? Well, we'll find out about that, too. Anyway, we'll talk about some Monday Night Football. We have Jerry Palm joining us from CBS Sports. Covers all things college football. He's going to be here in about 20 minutes. He's going to come through and chat it up with us about some of the big upsets, the major upsets that we just had over the weekend and what this means for the college football playoff, the conference championship game. So we're going to get into some college in about 20 minutes. I need you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We've already talked about the big old fight. Well, one of the big old fights we had between the Ohio State University and Michigan. We talked about Christian McCaffrey done for the season for the 49ers with that PCL sprain in his knee after doing all that running in the snow yesterday against the Buffalo Bills. And then we talked about his backup, Jordan Mason, also going on injured reserve. Just bad. High ankle sprain. And we did all of that just in the last hour. So if you missed a minute, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. And we have so much more to do. And if you want to call up, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You know, right before we went to break, and we talked about Clemson. Well, they lost to the South Carolina. And we talked about Syracuse beating Miami. And then we talked about a former Clemson quarterback and Trevor Lawrence getting knocked out cold. Azeez Al-Shaair knocked this man out, a Texans linebacker, and said he didn't mean to do it. Everybody says it wasn't on purpose. At least D'Amico Ryan says it wasn't on purpose. And I said that Trevor Lawrence, they don't need to play him the rest of the year. For what? This is a team that's 2-10. You might as well keep on tanking. You've been bad enough. Go ahead and secure yourself the number one overall pick at that point. Do you want Travis Hunter? Do you want to trade out of the spot? Do you want multiple picks? If you're the Jaguars, you want and need everything. You need a new owner, but he's not firing himself. Shad Khan isn't doing that. And I made the point after listening to D'Amico Ryans, who played linebacker in the NFL. Azeez Al-Shaair didn't try to go out there and end Trevor Lawrence. He made a mistake. He tried to hit him, but I don't think he went out there and tried to kill the guy. Nonetheless, he should still be suspended. He should still miss out on that money due to the suspension. But it's also football. It's going to happen. This is the type of thing that I worry about when you watch Tua Tagovailoa. You know, you expect at some point throughout the course of his career, even if you don't want it, you expect another hit. It's just really a matter of when. Hickey, you don't think Azeez Al-Shaair tried to kill the guy out there, right?
No. I don't think any really NFL player is out there headhunting, trying to, you know, hurt someone permanently. I do think there's a line, right, when you try to play hard, try to tackle someone, you know, maybe let them know you're there. I don't think, though, anyone really crosses the line of, I'm going to just end this guy's career.
Yeah, we did have there's one guy, Burfict. Remember him? Vontaze Burfict?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was dirty. He was dirty, dirty, dirty.
To the extreme.
Yeah, he was doing too much. But outside of that, nah, it's football. Injuries are going to happen. So I wish it was nice to know that Trevor Lawrence was able to get on social media yesterday and let everybody know that he was cool. But these are the type of things where you just you don't want to see them. But this football is violent. These guys are hitting each other. They hurt. And there's going to be more of these injuries. So all the best to Trevor Lawrence. He doesn't need to play. We don't need to see him the rest of the year. And I know it stinks because last year it was his knee. And this year it was his shoulder. And he's probably going to need surgery on that shoulder. And now he has to deal with his head. Nothing but the best to him. And the Jags, well, we'll see where they end. Hickey, what? 1, 2, or 3, right? Can't fall past 3, huh?
No. And even if they try to, I don't think they will.
Yeah. With Mac Jones time. Mac Jones.
Who? Nope. I mean, didn't look terrible yesterday.
Yeah, 2 touchdowns yesterday, right? Right. Now, you going to expect that every game?
No, I think it's more of a diss towards the Texans defense than it is a credit towards Mac Jones figuring something out.
Yeah, that was a little close. Hey, listen, next up for the Jaguars, at least they get Tennessee. So, I don't know. Maybe they pick up another victory because Tennessee looked like hot garbage yesterday as well. Something that we expect. The rest of the season. And, you know, I'm not going to say this next team is hot garbage, but I'm disappointed in the Ravens, man. The Ravens are supposed to be in the same space as the Buffalo Bills. I'm not going to say the heir apparent because they're not supposed to jump over the Kansas City Chiefs. Nobody is. But they're supposed to be one of the teams that are able to knock Patrick Mahomes off of the perch, and they can't. Yesterday, it was a real statement game for the Baltimore Ravens. The Eagles have been on a roll. They've been running. You got Saquon Barkley in MVP consideration. Yesterday, he goes out there, rushes for another 100-plus yards, has a touchdown. Jalen Hurts is being efficient. People look at Nick Sirianni. They go, this is the only guy that could screw up the Philadelphia Eagles. And they're rolling right now. They didn't have Devontae Smith. They still went out there and beat the Ravens 24-19. You could also say the Ravens have beat themselves. And this is one of the reasons why I'm not high on them the rest of this year. Typically, you look at Lamar Jackson playing out of his mind, not turning the ball over, threw for another 2 touchdowns, rushed for another 80 yards. Derrick Henry had 82 on the ground, yeah, big tackle. Cooper DeJean took him down, hooked him, textbook tackle by the legs. Great. The Ravens wish they have what the Eagles have. The Eagles' secondary suffered last year, got old quick, fell apart, guys were hurt, and they addressed it in the draft. Okay, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, they out there, you know, helping make way. Meanwhile, you got the Ravens, man, they just get bludgeoned in the secondary. And you go ahead and tie that up with a kicker, Justin Tucker. This guy missed another set of 2 kicks yesterday, or another set of kicks. He missed an extra point. He's now hitting a 70% of his field goals on the year. This is the lowest of his career. This is not what a starting kicker does in the NFL. Somebody else would have got benched. They'd have been sat down weeks ago. He has missed a league high 10 kicks. It's basically over for him. I mean, you got a former teammate, Torrey Smith, former wide receiver. He's just like, hey, give the guy some grace. Everybody's entitled to going through a bad stretch. He said this man has won 30 games as a kicker all by himself. And then his head coach, John Harbaugh, he said, I ain't benching Justin Tucker. I'm not going to cut him either.
If you're asking me if we're going to move on from Justin Tucker, I'm not really planning on doing that right now. I don't think that'd be wise. But, you know, he'll tell you, he'll be the first to tell you he's got to make, he needs to make as many kicks as he can. And I just think if you look at Justin Tucker's history, you'd have to say he's capable of doing that, you know. So, but that's something that he's going to want to do, and I know we're all going to want him to do it.
Yeah, unless your 35-year-old kicker is already cooked, unless his head is already cooked, then there is no turning back. I love the camera shots. When Justin Tucker was out there missing them kicks, the camera on John Harbaugh, the words out of his mouth, you got to be kidding me. You got to be bleeping me. The eye roll. Hickey, that's the thing. That's excellent production. I love it.
Great camera work. And also, sadly, probably great camera work because it was expected.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, ouch.
Right? So, hey, probably misses a kick. Harbaugh's been backing him up. Let's make sure when he misses the kick, we got Harbaugh's reaction there ready to go. And boy, do they nail it every time.
Oh my God. It's just like, hey, Justin Tucker is getting ready to kick. Let's go ahead and get Harbaugh cam. Action, action, action. Let's go ahead and get that right out the damn way. Meanwhile, Nick Sirianni, the other coach, the one that everybody expects to blow things for the Philadelphia Eagles sooner than later, maybe in the postseason. Nick Sirianni, he's just happy that he got Saquon Barkley, he got AJ, he got Jalen, and he's just like, man, I can't wait for Devontae to come back. Listen to this man be excited. He's the happiest coach from the weekend.
Saquon deserves to be in an MVP consideration. Jalen Hurts deserves to be in an MVP consideration because of how clean of football he's playing. Like, look at his quarterback rating throughout the last month and a half of the season. Like, Jalen Hurts is a winner. AJ could be, you know, is a guy. We have multiple guys that are that could be in consideration of that. Our offensive line, I wish they could give an offensive line MVP because our offensive line could be on that.
Come on, folks. Yeah, you got to give the Eagles credit for bouncing back, specifically on defense. They were able to add Saquon Barkley in the offseason, and we see what the results are. It's real simple. NFC Championship game, a bust. At minimum, that's just what it is. Go ahead and sign me up for it. I need to see the Eagles. I need to see the Lions in the NFC Championship game. These are the two best teams in the NFC right now, and that's just there's nothing else. You know, we talked about the San Francisco 49ers. They're dealing with so many injuries. You throw the 49ers out of the window. We don't see Christian McCaffrey. You can take them out of the mix. Anybody else who decides to pop in is just, they're just a wild card right now. That's just what it is. Congratulations to the Eagles. Hopefully Nick Sirianni doesn't screw things up, overcomplicated, unsimplified. Jalen Hurts hopefully doesn't hate his guts in a little while. Good for the Eagles. And the Ravens, I'm sorry, with your busted up kicker, and you screwed up secondary. And I know Kyle Hamilton went down early yesterday with a concussion. No, this is not it for the Ravens. The Buffalo Bills are looking superior. And I know specifically here on this show, the JR Sport Brief show, we get a lot of callers from Buffalo. We get a lot of callers from Baltimore. And they hate each other's guts. I think even Ravens fans know as much right now. Buffalo is a better team. Let's see if the Ravens could fix things. It just... that defense and a kicker is probably going to be the death of them. Whoever thought we'd be saying that about Justin Tucker? 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Jordan is here from South Carolina. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Jordan?
What's up, JR? Big fan, longtime listener. How you doing, man?
I'm excellent. What's up?
I came to ask you if you see any scenario where the Jaguars ship ETN somewhere else and maybe get Ashton Gentry at number one or trade down to get him.
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know if you want to go ahead and draft a running back at number one overall. I think that'd be a poor move for even the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's going to be real interesting as to what happens. And thank you so much, Jordan, for calling from South Carolina. The Jaguars should be a team competing for a wild card. You think about the players. You know, do you want to pay ETN? Probably not. I would say his buddy, also a Clemson dude, him and Trevor Lawrence, they've both been disappointments. Ain't nobody trying to ante up for any running back. But I don't think you go out there and replace him and take Gentry at number one overall. There is a real possibility that the Jacksonville Jaguars trade back. But they may not do that because this is show business, right? We need to bring in Travis Hunter. I mean, if we're the Jacksonville Jaguars, we need to fill in holes definitely on defense because we suck. We can't stop nothing. But are the Jaguars going to be able to, if they get the number one pick, or maybe they don't even need it, are they going to just be able to stay away from getting the sexy name in Travis Hunter? Is it too good to pass up on a guy who can play offense and defense? Oh, he can plug both ends of the field. Like, we got to be realistic here. And Jags, if they do end up with a number one pick, I would say it's a thankless position. I'd see if I can just trade back and pick up maybe two first rounders, but I don't know about that one. They got a whole lot of holes to fill It's not going to be easy. And it's also nice to see that Colorado is like, we're gonna play in whatever bowl game we end up in. Yeah, we not afraid. We're going to ball out. We come to do some damn work. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. You know, speaking of college, speaking of going to work, we're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to be joined by an expert. Jerry Palm is going to join us from CBS Sports, covers all things college and football and basketball. But we're going to ask him about some of these big upsets over the weekend. We're going to ask him about some of these fights. We're going to ask him about these conference championships this upcoming weekend. We're going to ask him about the playoff. Jerry Palm joins us on the other side. You're locked in. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. What a wild weekend, right? And college football taking over, and rivalry week. We had fights and flags and upsets and losses and coaches getting the boot. Coaches threatened with the boot. We're getting ready for conference championship games. We're getting ready for the final college football playoff rankings. Man, time flies. We're going to blink, and it's all going to be here to give us a preview of what we might see, what we can expect, and what we just saw over the weekend. Joining us right now from CBS Sports, covers all things college football, taking a deep dive into the college football playoff. It's Jerry Palm. Jerry, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for taking the time to join us. I guess let's get the Ohio State University, you know, out of the way. Ryan Day loses again. This was supposed to be the one he wins. We saw what took place afterwards with all the fighting, the pushing, the shoving, the flag, the pepper spray. We even had the new athletic director have to make a statement that we're not firing the guy. Ryan Day can't win to save nothing to save himself, right?
You know, it's funny. I'm a Purdue guy. We just fired our Ryan Walters. But it's just like, you know, the difference is so stark. Ryan Day loses four times in a row to Michigan, and everything else he's done doesn't matter. Ryan Walters won four games, maybe it was five, at Purdue. Total in 2 years. Didn't beat Michigan, didn't hardly beat anybody. But, you know, and there was actually some debate whether or not Ryan Walters would get fired. It's just so starkly different, the expectations in those two places. It's obviously, you know, in another year prior to this one, Ohio State's chances of making the college football playoff would be pretty close to zero, because they wouldn't get to play for their conference title. They're not going to be high enough in the rankings to get enough help probably to move up into the top four. But now it doesn't matter. I mean, they're still going to get a shot. They've still got an excellent team. You know, Ohio State's going to be one of the favorites when this playoff starts, even though they weren't able to play Michigan. And they won't have to worry about playing Michigan in this year's playoff, because they're 7-5 and going to something like the Music City Bowl or something.
Yeah, well, if they get lucky, they end up at the Pop-Tart Bowl, right? I don't know.
No.
We'll see.
That'd be great, but the Big Ten's not in that one.
Yeah. Jerry Palm is joining us from CBS Sports. When you talk about another disappointment over the weekend, and we saw what took place with Miami. The defense failed them again. How far do you expect Miami to fall when we get to these college football playoff rankings?
I think they're going to fall to just above Alabama, but they could go lower. And there are cases to be made on either side of that. You know, Alabama's got some great wins, a couple pretty questionable losses, a particularly embarrassing one by their standard at Oklahoma. You know, Miami doesn't have the big win, but, you know, they only lost twice. Neither of the losses are really terrible losses, other than a team like Miami should win those games. But, you know, we're talking about the same thing with Alabama. So my guess is that Miami will end up ahead of Alabama. That would make them the last team in the playoff. So that line where the committee draws it is pretty important. But there's certainly a case to put Miami below it. But it's really important. This week's rankings are really important, because historically in the college football playoff rankings, the teams that don't play on championship weekend hold their position relative to the other teams that are not playing. Mm. So you don't see teams that aren't playing jump each other. You know, it's you are where you are. So if Alabama is behind Miami this weekend, or going to be behind Miami next weekend, even if someone jumps up in between them, they will still be behind Miami. And so that's why these rankings are really important, because that spot could end up being the cut line for this tournament.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, we got two teams that are going to play here in Georgia on Saturday in the SEC championship game. We saw Texas barely get by A&M. We saw the Georgia, the Bulldogs, have to go to eight overtimes to knock off Tech. They're going to be in action.
That, right?
Yeah, well, it's over? I hope so. I mean, eight overtimes. I mean, damn it. It took forever. Hopefully to be done by the time they play on Saturday. But having said that, there's a possibility. And, yeah, they beat them already. Georgia already beat Texas. But there's a possibility that they lose and that they now have three losses. You talk about being inactive on conference championship day. What happens between Texas and Georgia?
Okay, so another pretty consistent thing that happens in these rankings on championship weekend is if the lower-ranked team in the championship game loses, the committee is very forgiving. Like, sometimes you don't lose ground at all. Now, the exception is if you get blown out. So if Texas blows Georgia out, Georgia's going to fall some, and how far remains to be seen. But if it's a competitive game and Georgia loses, they may not drop at all, not even one spot. So, and that's kind of how this committee has treated the lower-ranked team getting beaten in a championship game. Now, if there's an upset, that's completely different. You know, those teams are going to move. But you know, a lower-ranked team losing a competitive game does not usually get punished by this selection committee.
And Jerry Palm is here with us, the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast. You know, a team that we're looking at, they've been sitting around holding on to number one, or the Oregon Ducks. Good for them this year. They're able to knock off Washington. They got Penn State coming up next. They've kind of been coasting, all things considered, outside of that close one with the Ohio State University. What are your thoughts on Oregon? Not necessarily this game against Penn State, because I think Penn State's going to lose. What are your thoughts about them and Dylan Gabriel and their chances of saying, hey, okay, well, Ohio State lost. We're the best of the best now. Forget everybody else.
Well, they certainly have a claim to that. They're the only team among the majors anyway. Well, they're the only team, period, that hasn't gotten beaten yet. So, you know, there's a claim to be made there. They did beat Ohio State. They were able to play them at home, which was nice. Penn State will be a challenge on a more neutral site in Indianapolis, and that's a very good team as well. But, you know, Oregon's had a tremendous season. Whether they win or lose this game, they're a team that's capable of winning the whole thing. If they do win, they'll be the number one seed in the playoff, which means they get an 8-9 winner, which, you know, could be something like Ohio State and Tennessee in an 8-9 game. That could be your first game if you're Oregon. So, you know, this playoff is really going to be great, but they've had a tremendous year. They're really good on both sides of the ball. They're mostly known for their offense at Oregon, but their defense is a top-notch unit, and it's one of the primary reasons why this team is number one and not just very good.
Well, Jerry, you talk about a team. They have a loss, and they've been on a roll since that loss. I'm talking about Notre Dame. I mean, since they lost to Northern Illinois, they've just rattled off victory after victory after victory. No conference championship here. What are your thoughts on how Notre Dame can compete in the playoff?
Well, if they continue to play, especially defensively, the way they have, I think they've got a good shot. You know, they're really kind of untested. They beat A&M on the road. That's a really good win to start the season. They lost to Northern Illinois. And then the rest of their schedule, I don't think there's a ranked team on it. So, you know, USC was a little bit down this year. Louisville's going to end up with four losses and probably miss the rankings. And I don't think there's another ranked team on their schedule. So it's going to be a step up in competition that they haven't seen since the first game when they go into this playoff. And, of course, they can't get a bye because the byes go to conference champions. So the best seed that they could get would be five. But they'll probably be closer to six or maybe seven. But you know, Notre Dame is, you know, capable of doing really well. They're an excellent team, but I don't think they're as well tested as some of these other teams are.
Yeah, Jerry, you talk about a conference and getting byes. If we go out west, we know Boise State, unlikely, but they've been in the rankings technically there for the bye. We know they're going to take on UNLV in the Mountain West, and then we have Arizona State and Iowa State getting ready to go at it as well. How do you think those teams are going to round out when we get close to that 12 line?
Well, if they win their conference championships, they're in. Boise State, if they win their conference championship, will not only be in, but they'll get a bye. They'll probably be the third or fourth seed, depending on what happens in the ACC. But, you know, that's a really good team. They took Oregon. It's funny, their best win is the loss to Oregon because, you know, that was a three-point game, went all the way down to the wire. Boise State really acquitted itself well against the number one team in the country. If they beat UNLV this weekend, then they will – that will be their best win of the season, their only other win over a ranked team, or their only win over a ranked team. So, but this is an excellent team, and they're good on both sides of the ball. Now, they get a lot of attention for running back Ashton Jeanty, who's putting up some insane numbers and threatening Barry Sanders' records. He's a tremendous player that's going to be a high draft pick if running backs are still valued in the NFL. But yeah, they're a great team. It would be disappointing at this point for them to get beat and not get a chance to show off how good they are in the college football playoff, but that's what competition is. They got to go out and win the game.
Well, Jerry, we know that the landscape in college has changed so much, the expansion from four teams now to 12. God only knows how many we're going to move into in the future. You think about the transfer portal and NIL. And you look at the parity, and we talk about the upsets that we've seen over this weekend throughout the course of the year. Should we expect this moving forward when it comes to college football? Should we just forget about some team dominating things for 4, 5, 10 years? This is norm. This is the new norm, right?
Well, it feels like it's always been the norm. I mean, you've had teams have runs of success, but you don't get a lot of back-to-back national champions in this sport. It happens, but you know, you see a lot of the same names up there every year, but they don't always win the whole thing. So, but it's now that we've got 12 teams and all five conferences or four conferences, the major conferences, plus at least one non-major conference are going to be involved every year. I think we're going to see, you know, more names that we're not as familiar with, or maybe we will become more familiar with them as they are able to build programs that are able to compete on a kind of consistent basis in this playoff. But I think it's going to be more open, if you will, to names that we haven't heard, you know, like, for example, Indiana this year, which is just, you know, incredible what they've done in just, you know, first year with a new coach to go 11-1 in the regular season you know, and the lock for the college football playoff is just amazing.
All right, let's. Cignetti is making the moves from JMU to Indiana. Who do you favor as the overall champ? What team do you look at and say, okay, I'll put my money on that?
Let's say Georgia. I like Georgia. I think there are teams that have other teams that are talented, and they certainly aren't dominant this year. They've had a tough schedule, have taken a couple losses, but they've been the team that's been the most, I think, consistent throughout the season, with the exception of Oregon. Obviously very consistent. They're undefeated. But I just think that the way that Georgia's been tested this year, they're built and, you know, forged for a run through this college football playoff.
Okay. Hopefully Carson Beck, he can show up on the right plane and bus and doesn't throw the ball to the wrong team too, Jerry. I hope so.
That's kind of an important thing.
It certainly is. Hey, Jerry, thank you so much for the time. Where can people follow you and all of your work with CBS Sports?
Yeah, it's on CBSSports.com, the college football area. You can find my stuff on Twitter and Blue Sky. Is it Blue Sky? Blue Sky.
Yeah, well, yes, everywhere, Jerry. You might as well be.
Yeah, I'm trying out the new one. Yeah, see if I like it.
Nah, I hear that. Might as well. Hey, thank you so much, Jerry. We'll catch you on down the line, okay?
All right, thanks.
No doubt about it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, I just, I said no to Carson Beck. Hickey, what, like 2 months? Was it at least 2 months ago I said I'm done with this guy?
I think it was after the Alabama game, which, yeah, yeah. I mean, that was like late September.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still feeling wishy-washy. I agree with him. Like, Georgia has life, but Carson Beck scares the life out of me. And Kirby Smart, every time he has an opportunity to talk about him, he's just, oh, the schedule is tough. I'm not giving up on this guy. He talks about him like it's Justin Tucker and Harbaugh. It's like, okay. Like, you got to say you believe in him. You can't publicly come out and say, I think the guy stinks. I don't trust him. You just got to roll with the punches.
Yeah, and good luck, honestly, if you're betting on Georgia, that Carson Beck, like you said, will play. Yeah. I mean, you're asking him now, if they don't win the SEC title game, to play well in four straight playoff games?
Unlikely. Yeah, he's bound to have a threefer. I don't know. Is that what we call it? I made up my own football term there, a threefer. You know what the hell I mean. And three interceptions, a threefer, yeah. Yeah, anyway, it's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm going to get some more of your calls on the other side of the break. Thank you so much to Jerry Palm for joining us from CBS Sports. If you want to call up, if you want America to hear what the hell you have to say, you can do so. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. The phone lines are open. We come back on the other side of the break. You know, I did mention Oregon beating Washington. Last year, we know where Washington went. We know where their quarterback went. We know where their coach went. There are a lot of people here in Atlanta right now who want to see Penix start because of what Kirk Cousins has looked like. And let's just say it has not been good. We'll get into that on the other side of the break, plus your calls.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Jerry Palm from CBS Sports for coming through to talk some college football playoff action with us. We got to get through the conference championship games first. We got to get through another round of rankings and we'll get to another round of that. The final rankings. It's just some wild stuff. And thank you for his confidence in Carson Beck. We'll see. If you missed the conversation, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. I need you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I want to talk about someone who participated in the national championship game earlier this year, last season, and now he's sitting on the bench in Atlanta. We're going to get to Michael Penix Jr. In a moment. And then, of course, this is going to be pretty fun. I guess if you're a fan. Hickey, what the hell is wrong with Courtland Sutton? They just following him, right? He's fine. He's smiling, right? He's good.
Yeah, let's just go back to the locker room, get a little full access here.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, is he walking to or from the field? They kept showing him. I'm like, okay. And he chopped this stuff up. Yeah, we got Monday Night Football out in Denver as the white horse runs by in the background. Oh, here we go. Jameis Winston hyping him up. Hickey, what do you think he's saying? Something about Fruit Loops and Pebbles? What is he doing?
I'm trying to think. He usually makes it pretty specific, right? To either the day they're playing, where they're playing, who they're playing. Monday Night Football,
Denver, Colorado, Mile High. I don't know.
We're going to be feeling very high after we win.
Okay.
The high of winning is the greatest high you can have. Maybe it's like one of those, you know, he's cutting a dare promo right now. We don't need drugs. All we need is this win to feel high. Something like that. I mean, he's getting into it now. He's flailing his arms. He's yelling. It sort of looks like the team's responding. We got to get some audio of this.
Yeah, all of this to probably lose. Just saying, all of this to probably lose. Myles Garrett is walking away going, man, what the heck? This guy said this crap again. You're like, oh, okay, whatever. Yeah, let's try to get a listen to this. So maybe next hour when he's actually playing and maybe not throwing interceptions. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. And we have Lee calling up from Cincinnati. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Lee?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, JR. All I have to say real quick is this, you know, and let's face it. Oh, my gosh. I apologize.
You okay? You all right? Don't have no, you're not having no emergency on us, are you? You good?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
All I want to say is, real quick, is with the college playoffs, you know.
Right.
And all I have to say is, because you were always right about the college playoffs.
No, I'm not. But go ahead.
Hickey. Well, you have been so far. But what I wanted to ask you about was this, okay? So who do you think actually is now going to have the best chance at winning? Because, let's face it, I don't know who's going to win. I don't know who's going to lose. But after this past week, oh, and one thing that I want to say also real quick before all that was – the flag planting stuff.
Okay.
When did all this happen? When did all this start up?
Well, this has been going on for years intermittently. I mean, they asked Baker Mayfield about this, and Baker Mayfield is just like, hey, who cares what they do? Just go out there and play. So I wouldn't say this is nothing new. People, I mean, if this is college sports, I mean, I would rather have this than some of the other disgusting things that we've heard about prior to games, leaving animals and mascots and I think they are nastier things. A flag planting can get nasty if we get the results of what we just had between Michigan and Ohio State. But I think as an overall, I think they're worse things. That's not the biggest deal.
Well, it's not just Michigan and Ohio State. It was North Carolina, NC State. It was Florida and Florida State. Now, I'm a Florida fan, okay? But that's classless. It's totally classless. You go into somebody else's house, you beat them, okay? Why do you have to plant a flag? All you're asking is, hey, let's have a fight. That's all you're wanting to do. That has proves nothing, okay? It shows no class at all whatsoever. One, you walk out, you keep your fist high, say, yes, we beat you. Am I wrong about that? I don't think so, because it's just it's the way that it should be. It's the way that it always has been. Planting a flag in the middle of an opponent's field is just totally 100% wrong, in my opinion, and it is totally classless.
Well, that's your opinion. I'm not going to go as far to call it classless, but I will agree with you in saying that it certainly invites a fight. You know, I made the point earlier when Hickey and I were talking about this. I said, look, if you don't want any of this, the adults, quote-unquote, in the room, the administrators, the coaches have to be the ones to basically tell the students, knock it off. We're not going to do it. But if it happens, yeah, we are going to have a fight. And I got to be honest, how many times have we had, I mention Ohio State and Michigan because despite all the other incidents of people putting flags down, that one a little bit more vivid when the police are dead smack in the middle of all the players and they have to go ahead and utilize pepper spray. I ain't going to go as far again, Lee, and thank you for calling from Cincinnati to say, oh, my God, this is classless. They're worse things. I'm saying. They're worse things. But if we're going to have police, then it's going too far. Then I think at that point, you need to stop. I think you need to chill. And to answer your other question, and we just had this conversation with Jerry Palm, you know, who am I favoring? I want to say Georgia, but I don't trust Carson Beck. I feel more comfortable with Oregon. I think that's probably who I would go with to go ahead and win the national championship. I just do not trust Carson Beck. And that's why I also said, with all the parity that we have now in college football, and I understand Jerry's point about we don't have a team just winning every single year, but damn it, you could almost bet that they were going to be the same teams at the top, even if they weren't necessarily going to win the national championship. Nobody ever looked at Alabama and just said, oh, we can just throw them out the window, because that was never, ever the case. Nick Saban was going to run this for as long as he wanted to, until the system in college said, well, the system around him basically made him say, I'm not doing this anymore. I got to fundraise and pay the players. Like, I just want to coach. 855-212-4227. Kingfish is here from Arkansas. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
Hey, good evening, JR and Ryan. Did you have a good holiday?
It was too short, my man.
Did you have some good food?
I had amazing food. I sat down with a chef, but it was too short.
Well, I was thinking about you over the weekend because you were kind of like the Johnny Carson of sports radio, and I think Hickey's kind of like the Ed McMahon. He's got that enthusiasm and just comes out there and he makes you look like 10 times better than you already are, and so you make a really good combo. But I agree with both yours and Hickey's takes. Like Hickey said last night that he thought that Philadelphia was playing the best, you know, team football at the moment, and I agree with that. And you, and just a while ago, you said that you're kind of backing off of Baltimore, and a lot of people out here, not you guys, but a lot of people like me, are tired of the Lamar for MVP kind of deal, because it's we don't need it. Because the reason why is the last three big games that Lamar played in last year, when he played in the big game, he came up small. In the game against Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago, he came up small. In this game this past weekend, he came up small. And it's like he kind of plays
That's that. I don't think that's fair. I mean, if you're going to look at Lamar Jackson and start judging him on a game from last year, I don't think that's fair, because MVP doesn't have anything to do with what took place last year. And then the game that he just played this weekend, I don't think they lost that game because of him. The guy was still ridiculously efficient. He didn't turn the ball over. And the last time I checked, the kicker left quite a few points on the board. I'm not going to lay that at his feet and say that he came up small, or say that this is a reason why he shouldn't be MVP. He shouldn't be MVP because the Buffalo Bills are playing much better than the Ravens. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to talk some Monday Night Football on the other side of the break. Who would have thought that the Broncos are actually good? They can actually pick up their eighth victory today. We'll get into it on the JR Sport Brief Show. Don't move.